would be interested, I thought that was your, your effective Glassboro, August, drop back to 39.47. Yeah.
So this, there's only a blip then?
Well, it's a blip because something came out of it. It was just simply a issue.
You've got to be building before, you've got to be building after.
And also shows you the danger of just having a, or any other kind of a meeting for purely cosmetic purposes.
That dropped from 52 down to 39.
39, that's right. They never came back from that.
Oh, 13 months. I disapprove of 12.
That was 2 months. Of course, the war came back and they had my sponsorship. We kind of play hard right up in the hill.
Everybody says they don't
believe in the policy, don't they?
They do believe in the policy.
They repeat it back. Or they all those statistics. Examples, Rogers, they always repeat it back and forth again.
Really? What?
Get them out and do it.
Probably the idea of the stock thing now looks to be the goal of or something like that. They just say, like, to do the money. Bad idea. Make the TV make favors. It's too late to make the
money. Do they have one made? Or? So we take a jury bill. We wait for it. I'll be tomorrow.
I'll let Marcus know. It's up 300 points from the
day.
That is a factor.
Yeah, it's down today, I wouldn't go tomorrow.
So Sharma has to stay in the line. That may be reason to wait until Saturday to do it. What's the market today?
You could have dropped today if they had some heavy rides inside Madison property.
Well, they're toying with the idea. We can.
That's good, but I don't think that's a good idea. It's a good gimmick, you know. It's a help. Everybody knows about the bulls and the bear, so.
And it's a good picture, you know, to try to get a ball. It's not a bad thing, you know, sitting at the desk.
You say, well.
Yes. Oh, we'll start on
the bull. On the bull, and I'm confident. On the continent. I'm confident about America. That's the whole thing. I'm trying to get more of the price, the whole speech recognition. I'm confident, though.
And I love your, you know, before Murphy came. Walked across the paywells and Sarah McClendon were walking down the steps as I walked up over there. I said, wow, you got any juicy news to give us? I said, sure, what do you want? Said, we already got it. Wasn't that GMP great today? Well, I said, boy, things are really looking up, aren't they? And I said, they sure are.
So Shell sold the GMP to them, at least.
They were bullion, just, you know, the two little old crones. But they sit in there and hear that happening all the time. And then Sarah says, here's what the China thing. She said, the part of that China thing just got those liberals so screwed up they don't know what to do now.
It has. The China thing has affected intellectuals among the people. The people that should not have known.
We don't know. I don't know. It might. For the reason that if it affects the intellectuals that much, they keep battling about it on TV. So it becomes a big thing in people's minds, even if they don't think it is. All three networks spent 4 or 5 minutes on it. That's a lot of network time about a thing called TV, and it's very frustrating.
How much about the role we were playing? Come on. 9 days, a week, and 1 day.
Some channels stay on for a long time. China will stay on for a while, as long as the big problem is to come back. Go over to China will come over here, China will come in San Francisco, or all of a sudden, because they think their family is going to be able to come to this. But, you know, it's a bit sort of human.
Is that developing?
Well, I don't know if it's developed, but that's what they think.
There was a story, good.
That was a story that was from San Francisco. Francisco Chinatown, with people that hadn't seen their families for 50 years or something, thought maybe their families would come to America.
You see, Bob, the American people are not a warlike people. We're in a war. We're a bunch of naive sentimentalists. At least good things, you know. That's why they don't like these demonstrators. That's why they don't like these bombs.
They don't like trouble.
They don't like trouble. They want to be left alone. Don't you agree?
Sure.
People are.
Because I understand when people have it as good as the American people do, they do want to be left alone.
They just want these little bastards to shut up, go away,
and have their barbecue.
Let me say this. I really think, you know, as I said, I'm in trouble with San Jose, but in a real cluster. He's pretty much like a silly speech on the night before lunch. That was just a bad deal. It goes back to what we all concluded on South by we got that good on that.
We wrote San Jose probably too hard, too, which is another lesson to learn. We didn't think it was coming through, and we pushed on it. And it's one that we should have just let it take its own course.
Yeah, we didn't need
to. The press was there, they saw the rocks. And some of them, sure, they were making the case that it didn't happen, but they argued their own case. We shouldn't have brought it down to look at the car, for instance. We worked too hard on it.
But you're right.
And we got to be careful on some of that. We get cranked up. We know they'll screw us, so we try to counteract it. And sometimes we hurt ourselves. But we
make the best thing to do is just want to screw us.
Okay. That's good sometimes, but I think
it is driving that person.
Isn't it the interesting thing that he said, you know, in your speech at UCLA, you made the point about the group that the press had gathered on Sunday to decide what the news plan would be for the week. Are you serious when you're saying that? And I laughed. So obviously, I was kidding. But I said at the time, I was kidding. But the way everybody squealed about it, I had at the beginning that I accidentally stumbled on somebody's hidden treasure chest. Now they're afraid I've discovered something I wasn't supposed to know. And so I began to think maybe I was right and didn't know it. And he said, it was interesting. He said, well, don't ever tell anybody I said this, but he said, I'm convinced you are right. He said, this is Christopher Wren, it's a left-wing reporter. He says, I think they really do get together and decide what their attack line of attack is going to be. I'm sorry, you don't seriously mean. What you mean is that they see each other, feed off each other's lines, because that's in fact what I was trying to say, is that Severide says I'm on TV on Thursday night, and the magazine writers build it up on Friday, and so on. He said, no, I think it goes beyond that. I think they actually do sit down and decide, or call each other on the phone and say, what are we hitting this week?
And they orchestrate. They figure they're the establishment, and that's why they hate our guts, because we fight them so effectively. We do. As Henry says, they've taken three runs at us now. 69. Oh, yeah. That's fine. Oh, this is Bob. Rangers. Tuck out. No.
Yeah.
That's good. They won't be able to take another run.
Good thing worked in this thing. It works pretty well. They're political point. They separate the role of the politician.
Yeah.
Their decisions made political. Political is not a third role of the president. Political is a part of the total role. He's head of state and head of government, not head of political.
That's right.
Because political is part of being head of state, part of being head of government.
I do less politics than almost any other.
And so, but you look at what people call political things, and let's take one series of events, which is probably the most important series of the things he's done. November 3rd speech, the Cambodia move, the Laos move, and the April 7th speech. Those, in terms of political acts, and I set up the thing on November 3rd, you know, all the advice came in. Very good political advice. War off fast. Move the troops out much faster. Step up your rate.
Fire first.
Sorry.
Only mistake we made was fire.
I didn't mention that one call students in that we're going to demonstrate, sit and talk with them and get their views so that we can
make sure
that we heard and all that. Those were all the political judgments. And what the president did. He did what he knew was right as far as the question was concerned, and then exercised the act of political leadership, which was to go to the people and explain what he was doing and why, and hope they would understand, which they did, in a dramatic 180-degree shift in public opinion in a half an hour on the night of November 3rd. then things went along pretty well. Administrations came and people didn't like them, and things were going pretty well. Then Cambodia. Again, what should the president do? God, don't ever invade another country and expand the war. And if you do it, don't tell anybody about it and all that. So what did he do? He made the decision on the right basis. He said in his speech on Cambodia that he would rather do the right thing and only be a one-term president to a two-term president because he had done the wrong thing. That was hardly an act of political expediency. It's just the opposite. And he admitted it. He explained why. But nobody paid any attention to that. Then you look at Bob's political advice, which for God's sake, just get out of the war. Don't bring everybody home. Don't stir up the animals. They won't take it one more time. The president knew he had to do it in order to continue the program. Nobody's getting all that wrong. So he did it.
And not in trouble next year.
And then April 7th came along. Time to report on the troop withdrawal plans. All the political advice was step up the withdrawal and announce a fixed date and make it as early as you can, hopefully before the end of this year, so you'll undercut the people that are calling for the end of the year. So what did he do? He gave them no date. He backed them up a little bit, but not any significant amount, to do as much as could be properly done. Then he went on television and explained it to the people. From all we can determine now, the people understand. They aren't happy about it because nobody's happy about the war. But they understand, and they understand the president's jumping down. And those, to me, are political acts, but not in the sense that you're talking about.
How could you explain that to the staff sometime? Get McGregor to talk about it right now on that.
Scott is writing all this down. We'll be using it, because it's kind of nobody's running something like that. That's
you
make, a good point.
But why don't you make the staff, I mean, you get McGregor, Scalley should hear this.
Yeah.
McGregor, Scalley, it's a pretty damn good thing. I got to hear you out of here. Jesus Christ, that goddamn weak cabinet. You know, the more I think about nominating, I think we ought to really consider Connellan's view. I think we ought to just do it and do it. I don't want to do it now, but if we go out, if we get present, we get a sign.
And do it carefully, do it nicely with them, and just say it
nicely and say, now look, we're going to make some changes before the hearing. We want you all to take off and get them the hell out. I think Rumsfeld goes, get rid of him. Make him finance chairman. That would be good. Spans can take the leadership and say, look, I think we all ought to sort of submit our resignation. Actually, too bad you can't get Larry Rogers out.
Because you don't want to house clean. What you do need is two or three more strong men. Okay?
Yeah. You could replace Stan with a strong man.
Yeah. And Hardy, maybe. But a strong man in there that could go out himself.
That's right. That's a guy.
Spencer up to being a secretary.
You could sell. Who the hell wants to be a secretary?
Spencer and the staff.
I know. I'm inclined to think that my God, he's a baldy guy, he's enthusiastic. He was just nice and sweet and intelligent, and not worth a ship in terms of selling the president. You know that, Bob. Not worth a
wonderful
ship.
Guy.
Huh? A wonderful guy.
Very honest.
So is Hodgson. Hodgson's a wonderful guy. Does Hodgson help us? Nobody can. So.
I would think Hodgson would somehow.
Well, he's got a sort of a gung-ho attitude. And Stan is just not helpful. Not one bit. He doesn't help a bit, Bob. Believe me.
Dead. He just doesn't have the ability to be enthusiastic. Huh? He's not any more enthusiastic when he shot his first goal. No.
How can we get? I like a real gung-ho enthusiastic young business executive. Out across this country, somebody that's exciting and enthusiastic and bubbling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a J.C. type, frankly.
Yeah.
Young president type. Wouldn't that be great? You know, Marty Stans is old hat.
He's really full of steam. Sees his...
Loves the country and believes in the Americans.
Sees his mission as just like Connellan does. Not isn't to sit here and worry about business.
That's what we're really talking about.
So
no heart. You want to maybe somebody wants him to be president or something or other. Fine. And if you can move Stans, and he'd do
do that, and we get many embassy laws. You can't take Rogers for later, can you? I doubt that you can get him out. Rogers could be an asset in the end, if you just get all your fun. And that one counts.
I think he will,
Rogers really, to his credit, during the worst of the period before April 7th, Rogers was buoyant. He was up, others were down, but Rogers said, we're doing all right.
Check.
We're doing all right. It's all downhill from now. He wasn't one that urged that we step up to the troop withdrawal. Not a bit. Henry doesn't like to admit this.
Ship, be out from the niggers and